Psalm 133. We sang from Psalm 122 this morning, which was among the songs of ascent, as is Psalm 133. So again, let's give our careful attention to the Word of God. A song of ascent of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now turn back to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 33, give us the recipe for the oil that David mentions in Psalm 133. Exodus 30, beginning in verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet smelling cinnamon, half as much. That is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its utensils, and the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand. You shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whoever touches them will become holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. And you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on the body of any ordinary person, and you shall make no other like it in composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word to us. Now, one of the results of our sinful condition is that we are a forgetful people. Not forgetful in terms of forgetting your keys or forgetting to feed the dog, but forgetful in terms of the blessings of the Lord. We have very short memories when it comes to the blessings that the Lord has showered upon us. And the Lord knows this. Thus, there are many commands in the Bible to remember. Remember the Lord. Remember his mighty acts. Be careful not to forget the Lord. And we see a similar command in Psalm 133, where the psalm begins with that simple word, behold. We're called to behold the blessed unity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, very often we hear that word behold and we just think it's some sort of King James formality. But it's a very important word in the Scripture. It's a call to look at something, to consider it for yourselves, to pay close attention to it. And so Psalm 133 calls us to behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Now, last week, we considered the analogy of marriage and how it pictured to us our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this evening, we will consider the metaphors in Psalm 133 that are used to describe our union with one another. Now, it would be helpful if you had one finger in Psalm 133 and one in Exodus chapter 30. We'll be flipping back and forth. But in Psalm 133, you'll notice that our unity is said to be like two things. It's said to be like the oil that was poured out on Aaron's head, and it's said to be like the dew of Hermon. So these metaphors tell us something about our unity in Jesus Christ. So we will consider those in turn. First of all, we see that it's like this precious oil. In verse 2, we read, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Now, this has in mind that holy anointing oil that consecrated Aaron as priest. The oil was symbolic of the Spirit anointing the priest for his calling and for service to God. And our fellowship is said to be like this oil. And so that invites us to consider what this oil was like. And God in His providence gave us the recipe for this oil. And so look at Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 and following. And there we are given both the recipe and the details of this oil. And what we find is very detailed, very specific instructions. And so let's consider what this oil tells us about our Christian unity. And we'll draw up five characteristics of this oil, which will be the five subheadings in your bulletin. First of all, as we read about this oil, we see that it is a costly recipe. It's a costly recipe. As you read through it, you'll notice that it's something of very good quality. We read of foreign oils, of exotic spices. And this was not easy or cheap to make. And this costly oil reminds us that the union that we enjoy with one another is costly. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. And our unity and our fellowship with one another is foreign and exotic. In other words, it's not earthly. Like the oil that came down on Aaron's head. So our fellowship comes down from heaven. It's costly. You have been bought with a price. You are a blood-bought people. The unity that we enjoy with one another is not cheap. It was costly. Christ took upon flesh and died to secure this unity. Second, we see that this oil was also specific or particular. Very specific, very particular. Now, this is not like some of your cooking methods. It wasn't just a pinch of this and a dash of that. There were exact amounts of specific ingredients It was to be compounded by a skilled perfumer. It was a careful and deliberate recipe. And this reminds us of the careful and deliberate work of Christ for us. Christ died for a specific people. His atonement was what we call limited or particular. From all eternity, Christ knew a specific people. A people whom he would die for, whom he would save, and to whom he would grant this blessed and abiding unity. Thirdly, we see that this oil is holy. Look at verses 31 and 32. We read, "This shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on the body of an ordinary person. And you shall make no other like it in composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you." So this oil is holy, and it's not to be used for any other purpose. It wasn't to be copied or counterfeited. The word holy carries with it the idea of moral purity. But more than that, it carries with it the idea of being separate. So this is what our fellowship is like. It's holy. It is pure because Christ made it. It's good and pleasant because it comes from Him. But it's also separate and different. It's not like anything else in this world. Notice verse 33. "Whoever compounds any like it." In other words, whoever tries to counterfeit this oil shall be cut off. So this reminds us that this unity can't be counterfeited. This unity is only known through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an appropriate word for us today, where we see the church more and more trying to find so-called unity apart from Christ and apart from His Word. And here we learn that when the church tries to have unity apart from Christ, it's a counterfeit. It's not the real thing. And likewise, we see it in the world, where we see human organizations, fraternal societies, try to counterfeit this spiritual unity. And we're reminded here that God will not bless it. To use the words here, they will be cut off. So it is a holy oil, a holy unity. Fourth, we see that this oil is abundant. It's abundant. There's a lot of this oil. When you add up the weight of this concoction, you come to almost 50 pounds. Now, to give you a reference, 1 gallon of water weighs about 8.3 pounds. And now, if someone, you know, poured out a gallon of water on you, you would feel it. Now, we don't know if this oil was used all at once or bit by bit, but either way, this oil was abundant. It was substantial. You'll notice how David describes it, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. There was a lot of it. It was abundant. So this reminds us that God's blessing on our fellowship is indeed abundant. True unity in Christ, there's no shortage of it. When it is poured out upon you, you should feel it, you should notice it. Fifth, this oil is sweet smelling. liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon and sweet-smelling cane. This was a concoction that smelled really good. And when Aaron was anointed with this oil, everyone in the camp could smell it. He was covered with this sweet-smelling oil, and everyone got to share in this sweet aroma. But Aaron wasn't the ultimate priest. He was just a type, a shadow of the true priest to come. Christ was that true priest who was anointed not with oil, but anointed with the Spirit above measure. The very term Christ means anointed one. And in the New Testament, Paul takes this language and he says that we literally share in the aroma of Christ's anointing. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says that we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. It's a beautiful picture where, because of our union with Christ, we share in that sweet-smelling aroma. And our union in Christ, our union with one another, becomes a sweet-smelling aroma as well. So our unity in Christ is a heavenly recipe. It's costly, it's specific, it's holy, it's abundant, and it is sweet-smelling. And so we sit here today as a very specific, holy, heavenly recipe. We are here because God has placed us here. And he says that together we are like that precious oil that was poured out on Aaron's head. Secondly, David says that our unity is like the dew of Hermon. He says it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Now, dew is sustaining. Dew waters and feeds the land. And dew in the scriptures became a symbol for the blessing and provision of God. And here, our unity itself is said to be like this dew. It's said to be sustaining. It's a symbol of the blessing and provision of God that comes down from heaven on us. And you'll notice that with both these metaphors, both the oil and the dew, you'll notice how it is emphasized that these are things that come down. The oil came down on Aaron's head. It runs down on his beard, down on his garments. And likewise, the dew comes down on Mount Zion. So this speaks to the heavenly nature of God's blessing of unity upon us. Now notice that the picture of the dew is of the dew of one mountain falling on another mountain. The dew of Hermon descending on Zion. It's a very unique image. If you're familiar with the geography of Palestine, you'll know that Hermon is one of the largest mountain ranges in that region. And it was known for its dew. An ancient person, if they woke up one morning in Jerusalem and there was really good dew on the ground, they would say, "Wow, this is like the dew of Hermon." And we read in the Psalms of the cedars of Lebanon. Well, Lebanon has the best cedars. We talk about Alaskan salmon. They have the best salmon. Hermon had the best dew. And the church has the best unity. no earthly bonds outside of Jesus come close to the bonds that we have in our great King. Our union with Christ results in a sustaining union with one another that will last forever. And this metaphor of sustaining dew reminds us of our need for one another. You need one another. We need the church. God never intended us to live out the Christian life by ourselves. Despite what modern Christianity teaches, your faith is not just you and Jesus. You need each other. You have a responsibility to serve and uphold and to love one another. So these metaphors remind us of the great blessing that we have. A blessing we are prone to forget. That we are united to Christ and we are united to one another with an eternal bond. And it's a blessing that we must guard zealously. And so I want to close with some brief points of application. How do we guard this precious gift of unity? First of all, you need simply to remember Christ and remember the cost that He paid for this unity. Our Lord humbled Himself and gave His life that we might experience this great blessing. This should lead you to cherish and to guard your union with one another. Second, we simply need to pray. We sang this morning in Psalm 122. Intercede and pray for peace. Pray for peace and unity in this congregation. Pray for peace and unity in the church as a whole. Pray that God would keep you from a hard heart, from grudges and divisiveness. Pray that the Lord would teach you to hate strife and division. Some of us can testify how quickly factions and divisions can destroy a church. We need to pray against these things and pray for the unity of Christ. Finally, we need to remember that grudges and disunity are satanic. They're satanic. It is the devil and his children that hate peace and unity. And so when we cause division, when we harbor these grudges within our hearts, we're playing into the hands of our enemy. So guard your hearts against temptation in this regard. We come back to the first word of Psalm 133. Behold, look at this unity. Think about it. Examine it. The Lord has created it. It is good. It is pleasant. And if you are a Christian, you should cherish it. There should be no place that you would rather be than in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of your brothers and your sisters. The Lord wants you to behold how good and how pleasant our unity is. And the metaphors that He gives to us reminds us that our unity is a costly, eternal reality that has been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, We thank you that we are united to him as his people. Yet, Lord, we are prone to forget that we are also united to one another in him. And so we pray, Lord, that we would truly behold this blessing. We pray that it would truly become pleasant to us. Lord, teach us to guard it zealously. Lord, may that begin in our own heart. May we guard ourselves against grudges and hard feelings. Lord, may we show mercy as Christ showed mercy. And so we thank you, Lord, for the blessed and abiding unity that we have. And we give thanks to Christ for giving this unity to us as a gift. But we thank you that in it we have a small taste of heaven in this world. But we praise you and we thank you. Pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.